Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we welcome in the voice of your Cleveland Browns, who has got to call a couple of really good games this year, and he could get the call playoff run next year. Jim Donovan joins us on the show. Jim, thanks for joining us, friend.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
What do you expect to hear from Freddie Kitchens today at noon over at First Energy Stadium?
Oh, I think it's going to be, I think it will be down to earth. I think it will be pretty common language. It will be fun. It will be, you know, it will connect with people. I think that he is, as he said in his little video message the other day, let's roll. I think that that's his motto, is that, you know, you just go out and you play. He always said, you know, I just keep my head down and just keep doing my job. And I think it got him to a great place, and I think he'll just continue that. I really do.
Now, we have seen some doozies when it comes to introductory press conferences. And, Jim, I know you've been doing this longer than I have, so you've seen the same stuff. The best is some of the college introductory press conferences when there's a standing ovation in the back of the room from some of the planted people that are in the audience. Will we see that today? Will there be a round of applause today in a standing O?
You know, there might be. You know, there might be. The fact that it's, you know, it's in a bigger venue than the tiny media room, although, you know, it's a good-sized media room. But for announcements like this, it bursts at the seams in Berea. So, yeah, I think you might be. I think, you know, if there are other people involved, you know, invited guests and things like that, you know, you may have that. I think that that's the way people feel. I think people, who know Freddie are really happy for him. You know, you're right. There have been some really awkward ones through the years. Eric Mangini's was really awkward on two fronts. Number one, Mike Keenan was the new president of the Browns, and nobody really knew who Mike Keenan was because he was off in the distant background behind John Collins and other people within the organization. So first of all, in a very quivering, nervous voice, he introduced himself to the media, and then he introduced Eric Mangini, and there was this pause that there might be some, you know, a smattering of applause, and there was nothing. You could hear a pin drop in the room, and Mangini kind of had to react to that, you know, that, hey, it's good to see you people too. So that kind of got that off to a start that, really was kind of predictable. But I think this one will be a good feeling one.
That was basically like Chevy guy from the World Series a couple of years ago. Jim Donovan joining us on the show. Hey, what if, and this was a hypothetical, but what if they said Todd Monken was going to call the plays? How do you think the fans would take that? And what would your thoughts be?
Well, I was a little bit, I am kind of wondering about that whole scenario, because I think that sometimes you have to go with what got you the job. And, what got Freddie the job was obviously the way he turned around the offense and the way he called the game. And so I'm kind of wondering about that. But, you know, you may be split on that, Ken. You may have a contingent of people that say, hey, it's an overwhelming job to become the head coach. And if it's your first time as the head coach of any team, it can be even more overwhelming. And so, therefore, it might be difficult to call the game and to become the head coach of the team. And then I think that there's a strong amount of people that would say, yeah, but we like the way you called the game, and that's why you got the job, and we're expecting you to do it. It will be interesting to hear his explanation and what he is going to do. And I think he's pretty upfront about everything, so I'm sure he'll tell us what to do, what he's going to do. And I'm sure he'll be asked that fairly early on when they open it up to questions.
Jim Donovan with us on the hotline, voice of the Browns. I think he's going to be pressed, Dorsey will, on the process. How did they come up with the group of candidates that they interviewed, and then ultimately how they end up with Kitchens? What did you think overall of the process? I was a little surprised at some of the names, and then obviously, as we know, Freddie Kitchens did not get a head coach interview anywhere else, and none of the guys the Browns interviewed ended up getting a job anywhere else as head coach. So overall, what'd you think?
Well, I mean, I'm really happy for Freddie. I really am. I am surprised. I didn't think it was going to go this way. And I was just wondering how open-minded they were to the two guys inside the building that had performed for them and that had taken on these interim positions, and if they were considering them at all. I mean, I just thought maybe, yes, give them an interview. But in the heart of hearts, I thought that they were probably pretty well, as far as strategy is concerned, pretty well set up all year long as to what they were going to do. So I was happy they were going to get the interviews. I was really surprised at the outcome. But I will say this, Anthony, as the list kept coming out, you know, I think we all, and I'm definitely in that club, just kept waiting for some big name to pop out, whether it be from the college ranks or whether some big name would pop out in the NFL. Not that anyone really did land a big name of the teams that were looking for head coaches, because it just seems that the list, you know, wasn't as, I don't want to say impressive, but it wasn't as headline making as some of the years past. It's almost like when you go into the draft and you say, this is a great year for quarterbacks. And then the following year you say, you know, the teams that needed quarterbacks needed to get one last year. So as far as big names were concerned, it just wasn't, there wasn't a lot of pop to it. Which brought them back to Freddie Kitchens, who was the last of the guys to get a first-round interview, and he obviously did very well with it. And I think that they felt, you know, very convinced about him, having watched what he did through the 8 weeks. And we were wondering about, on Greg Williams' case, if that might be the situation too, that having watched what he did, even at a little bit more of a higher level than just being a coordinator, but being a coordinator and an interim head coach, you know, his job, you know, that he did was pretty impressive too. So overall, I'm happy for Freddie, but I was surprised at the outcome. And that's no slight on Freddie's ability, but I think it is a look at what the list was and how it went.
Jim, the Mike McCarthy thing was very interesting to me, yeah. How that got stalled out. And then ultimately, there were no talks. And there were a couple of reports out there, one locally, one nationally, that essentially they would have been very interested in Mike McCarthy to be the head coach, but they were going to make him retain Freddie Kitchens. Do you think that caused some of these, maybe that's why they didn't have that big candidate that they would have talked to otherwise?
Well, I think in his case, you know, the only thing that seemed to keep bouncing back at him in the way of getting a lot of interviews and then ending up with no job in the head coaching ranks seemed to be this staleness in his approach to his offense, that he never perked it up any bit, any kind of an amount of improving it and kind of modernizing it. Now that's a rough thing to have kind of labeled about the way your style of coaching, and in particular what your expertise is, which was on offense. I mean, if somebody is stale or a little bit worn out, I think that's a real problem in today's NFL, because everybody's looking for the next newest thing that's going to pop out there and make your team so tough to beat and successful. And I think that was a problem for him. So, yeah, the longer that went on, because, I was kind of wondering if maybe they had talked to him in the space of time from the time that he had been fired in Green Bay until they started the whole process of opening it up at the end of the regular season and looking at all of their candidates. I was thinking maybe that, you know, on a given day they probably, you know, brought him into town or they went somewhere and talked to him, and that interview had already been achieved. But that wasn't the case. Now, whether or not, you know, they tried to, you know, marry him up with Freddie Kitchens and take him on as his offensive coordinator, and he said no, I don't know about that storyline. But the fact that a lot of people said Mike McCarthy seemed to be a little bit worn out with his offense and stubborn to kind of improve it or modernize it, that would become a problem, I think. And it seems like it might have been league-wide.
Hey, this is a real quick non sequitur, but I got to ask. You watch that Rams game on Saturday night?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the end when Aqib Talib cussed on air with Chris Myers?
Yes.
Have you ever had that situation happen to you, and how did you cover it up?
You know, I'm trying to think if maybe in the Indians locker room one time when they won the pennant in 95, the game was on NBC, so Channel 3 had a little bit more access to the locker room and being able to be live in the locker room than the other stations in town, because we were, as they say in the business, kind of a rights holder. And I'm trying to remember if maybe that happened there, because that was a pretty wild scene. But, you know, nothing like that. No, I've never had any. No, I really haven't. I haven't had anything like that happen. But that was, yeah, poor Chris Myers, wasn't it? Myers was doing the interview on the field. I thought he kind of dodged around it pretty good.
Oh, I thought he did a great job getting around it. It was like, oh, we apologize for that, and we move on. Like, it was like he didn't stare at the camera or anything. Like, he wasn't mouth agape. Like, they tell stories. We have a buddy of ours who does professional wrestling, and right. They say when they bring you in to test you in one of the very old pay-per-views, a woman jumps in front of a camera and takes her top off. And they do that as a thing to test you to see if you can say something to cover it up out of nowhere so everybody can move on and do it. Because I guess at that time, everybody just was there like shock, stunned that somebody would do something like that. And I thought Chris Myers did a great job. I was just wondering if it ever, like, it's had to have happened at some point somewhere, but I'm glad at least it wasn't memorable enough where it would be a big deal to you.
Yeah. Now, the woman jumping and taping the top off has happened to me a number of times, but the swearing on the air has not happened to me.
Well, that's just you when you go to Home Depot. That's just a regular everyday occurrence, Jim.
Whatever happened to Morgana? Wasn't that her name? We need more of that, not less. Anyway, Jim Donovan joining us on the hotline. Did you have any issue with hiring of the new special teams coach, Mike Prefer, who it emerged, and this had been out there before, his homophobic remarks that were brought to light about 5 years ago? Do you have any problem with that?
No, I read about it, and, when it kind of came out this weekend that he was on his way to Cleveland, and you kind of start reading about the various candidates that are coming here. I mean, I read about it because it's obviously, you know, in his past, it seemed to have been very vetted with the Minnesota Vikings and that it had gone its way and, had been covered there. So, it seems to be coming up more and more, Anthony. You know, I mean, didn't it come up with Josh Allen the day of the draft or the day before the draft?
Yeah, old tweets.
The Buffalo Bills quarterback. And it's come up with other people, too, I really didn't have a big problem with it. It seemed to have been settled, and the appropriate things had been done with that a few years back to the point where he had stayed with Minnesota and stayed with the Vikings. So I think if you just move on from that.
Jim Donovan joining us on the show. Have you already started to think about free agents or no?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, I mean, I've been watching, you know, what, I've been kind of watching the playoffs and kind of saying, hey, can we play with these guys that are out there in the playoff field? And I think the Browns could have hung with anybody and did hang with some of those teams. I mean, they definitely hung with New Orleans earlier in the year inside the dome. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking and wondering what would be a fit, and I'm kind of wondering what John Dorsey's strategy would be is in the way of do you continue to wait for players through the draft, or do you do a more a now approach because the team is on the cusp of really being very, very competitive and a winning team and ready to make a run inside the division. I kind of am very excited about that with the amount of money that they have to spend and what they can do with that. I mean, you know, you look at, various situations around the NFL and guys that are probably going to be moving around. And certainly, you know, they're going to be moving around in Pittsburgh a great deal with what's going on with the Steelers. And you wonder, you know, if change of scenery would make a player, and like a player like Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, make those players just happier and more productive and not disruptive. That's the big thing. I mean, you don't want to have that come into your locker room because this right now is a good locker room.
Jim, when the Browns are struggling, which they had been until recently, fans wanted to hear from the owner. They wanted explanations from their owner, Jimmy Haslam. Right. I don't hear anybody really even wanting to see Jimmy Haslam today, which is kind of funny. Do you think he will talk? He's obviously been a staple at these press conferences in the past.
I would think he would. I would think he would because I think that, the team is on a bit of a good roll. I think he deserves a shot at it, and I think that he probably wants to endorse Freddie Kitchens, and I would think that he would want to do that. But I agree with you about that. I mean, you know, when the team goes into a four-game slide, I mean, people want Jimmy Haslam to come up on a Wednesday afternoon and discuss what's going to go on with the, you know, so that it's not a five-game slide. And, I can remember those just, you know, painful press conferences typically on the last Sunday, you know, up against a brick wall in Pittsburgh when he would have to do the obligatory end of the season press conference with everybody, you know, around him after an 0-16 year or a one win year, or that year that he fired, you know, Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine after they lost to the Steelers. But I think that, yeah, I think he should want to speak today because I think it's this is a good day for the Browns, and I think that he probably should get up there and give his own thoughts on Freddie Kitchens because it's a great story. It really is. A guy that started out the year as the running backs coach and now becomes your head coach.
I actually felt kind of bad at the end of those season ones, like, because it was always – it was up against – like he was like Ceaușescu.
Yeah.
When they line him up against the wall, for crying out loud, yeah. I felt terrible for him. But, hey, real quick, I don't know if you heard right before we had you on the segment before. Do you think that Carson Wentz would have won that game yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles?
You know, I'm a big Nick Foles guy in what he did, so I really don't know, Ken. You know, Carson Wentz is that's all right now. You know, you just kind of wonder what he would have been able to do. I mean, you wonder what he would be able to do in the playoffs because he hasn't been able to play in a playoff game. I'm sure, you know, that's the guy the Eagles really want in there, you know, because they can only imagine what he would be able to do and be very, very excited about him playing in that situation. I mean, he's a really tough guy, a tough kid. I only hope, for his case, really, for his situation, that this isn't an ongoing thing, that his style of play and the way he plays is going to put him in this type of situation, that being injured late in a season now for 2 years in a row where he's unable to play in the postseason. I mean, they've had some great runs, really. Even this one was a great run and a little bit unexpected for the way they got into the playoffs, but he's not available to them. So I think the first thing is to get him available, but you know, I just, you know, I really don't know. I would have loved to have seen him play because he's such a tough, fierce competitor that I think he probably, you know, would have enjoyed being in that situation. And that's why they took him. And that's why they moved around to get that pick to take him, to put him in those kind of situations.
Well, Jim agrees with me, and so
I
won the argument.
I don't know if he agrees with you.
Thank you very much, Jim. We appreciate your time, sir. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You too. The great Jim Donovan. As I do the Champions Post.
I skip. I disagree with you, so therefore you're Skip Bayless.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.